Let's go.
You're first.
Fine, vermin. Oh, dang, damn it. This is Lethal Watching.
Sweet. All right, Ed. Okay. Hello. Welcome to Lethal Watching. Yay. Podcast. What an intro. It wasn't my fault.
It's done.
You should have had the guts to go with it again, Jared Boyle.
Anyway.
I think the most shocking thing is that, A, we're back again, and Jared's back 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, hey.
Because, you know, it's surprising because you haven't shown that much consistency to the podcast in, you know, previous weeks.
Yeah, this is true.
Like, forgetful and not very attentive of us, I think is another phrase I'd use.
Yep, that isn't going to change this episode.
I think he's actually began to use this as an excuse now so he doesn't have to change any more nappies. Oh, I can't, I've got to do lead the watching.
Got to do a podcast, got to do a podcast.
Yeah. Why don't we do podcasts every day, 12 hours of a day?
So, are you still at home with Conan?
Yes, yes.
So, like, cool. With the 14 hours a day that he sleeps, you've not found the time to contribute to the website or anything.
He does not sleep for 14 hours of a day.
Is that what babies sleep? 14 hours a day.
They're supposed to.
Have you put him stomach
yet?
Stormageddon,
yes.
One of the best moments of Doctor Who ever that was when he's the baby's name. Stormageddon, Dark Ruler of All. respect to that. Anyway, what are we doing? If we're doing a podcast, what are we going to talk about?
This is the continuation. This is Dragon episode number two.
The long-awaited sequel.
We just couldn't get enough of those goddamn dragons. So
because you demanded it, listeners, we're back with more dragons.
Of a very loose sense of the word.
Hey, they've all got dragons in. Well, every one of them.
Do they?
No, they don't.
No, well, they don't. They don't.
No,
they don't. Not at all. So that was.
I'm afraid only one of them has a dragon in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what a dragon though! Surely that dragon kind of makes up for the rest of them.
Yeah, that dragon does. Yeah,
that's a good dragon. Dragon two.
Dragon episode two. So it's double dragon. Dragon Slayer, and Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Yeah, they've all got Dragon in the name, so well done us.
Yes, we're sticking with what we said.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think we should, you know, as the energy's high, we should probably go straight in with Double Dragon now, I think.
Oh, let's hit Double Dragon, let's hit it hard.
Let's hit it hard, and then forget about it and never talk about it ever again.
Double Dragon 2 episode.
No, no more dragons after this.
Vengeance.
Anyway, Double Dragon. We, yeah, I Did I pick this?
Was I giving Phil, this was yours, and this was your excited pick. As in, you got in before everyone else.
We all remember Double Dragon, the arcade game, you know, the beat 'em up, which was quite enjoyable in a kind of simple way. And then
the NES game.
Oh yeah, the NES game was good. I had it on the Amiga. It wasn't too bad either. You know, it was good and an enjoyable game.
I had it for Game Boy as well.
Oh, look at you.
2 was brilliant.
Yeah. But then what was more brilliant was the TV series, the cartoon I talked about on the website.
Double Dragon cartoon was pretty cool.
Yeah, which is the most viewed page on the website.
You've got the DVDs as well, haven't you?
Yeah, thank you, Martin. Martin sent me some DVDs today, because Martin's a nice fella. So, you know, I got some DVDs. So it's a good show, you know. It ran from 93 to 94, two series, and Double Dragon the movie doesn't reference it at all, really. And it goes its own path, separate from both the movie and the games. And one could argue whether that was a good or a bad thing. Because the game itself was basically you play Jimmy or Billy Lee, depending on if you're the one or two player, and you basically beat up people to rescue your girlfriend at the end of the game. And then I think at the end you kind of fought over who was going to get the girl. So there's no story in the first Double Dragon at all, is there? There's nothing. Nothing at all.
Not really, I don't think.
No. Cartoon series. Jimmy and Billy Lee are now like magical super dudes who are the Dragon Warriors. Of the title.
Super dudes.
Yeah, super dudes. Fighting the Shadow Lord with like swords and stuff. And they go around like dragon cars and stuff. It's an awesome show. It's really good. To be a dragon, you gotta be strong. Humble, never bragging. Always fight for right, battling wrong. With the power of the dragon.
Or intentionally harm another. Do not battle if you can avoid it. You, Billy Lee, a Dragon Master now.
Dragon Master was born with a mark of the Double Dragon.
And Double Dragon, the film, goes another route by having Jimmy and Billy Lee just kind of living in a theatre in 2007, so 4 years ago, after like a gigantic earthquake has apparently demolished the city. So Los Angeles is now New Angeles, and apparently the land is so bad that everything's propped up with like jacks and stuff.
Which leads to, if I may say so, the best scene in the film.
Go on then.
The midget with the jack.
Yes,
it's like a crank thing. That's like the best bit. It's just like randomly, just for some reason, just shows you like a dwarf cranking up, like a big thing.
It's just when we first meet Jimmy and Billy Lee, because they're fighting in some kind of tournament, aren't they? And like the building kind of shakes because it's all aftershocks and stuff.
What are they fighting in? Because they're wearing like cardigans.
I don't know.
That's proper fucked up.
I don't know. The whole film is just bizarre.
But that bit, it just keeps cutting back and forward for some reason. It just keeps going to something else and then cuts back to the dwarf going... What the hell?
Yeah. So then all of this at the beginning is like a group of some monk village in China gets attacked by people with guns and stuff, and they fire one half of the dragon medallion.
Actually just says somewhere in China.
Somewhere in China.
Picking a place out of an atlas.
Yeah, there. Boom. That's where we're going to hide the dragon medallion. Boom, off they go. With some lady with a whip who clearly can't use the whip because she just kind of throws it forward lightly and it kills people, apparently. And then she takes the medallion back to the bad guy, the Kogashuko, who is trying to get both parts of the medallion together in order to conquer the world or something. It's never really clear. But what is clear is that Kogashuko is played by Robert Patrick with a Vanilla Ice haircut. Thank you, Martin.
Oh, yes. The most awesome hair.
And I was shocked that Robert Patrick would be in this film. Because it is cheap as nonsense. And this is, what, 3 years after Terminator 2?
But oh, did God, he do after T2? That's the thing.
Well, he was in X-Files, wasn't he, after Terminator 2?
That was 90s, wasn't it?
Was that later than that, was it?
Yeah, it was about 97. It was 99, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a good bit after. The only other thing I remember being in is the Dig game. The voice in the Dig.
That is it.
Yeah.
No, he, remember his cameo in Last Action Hero? Can't remember that.
No. Oh, yes, he was in that too.
Although, apparently, according to his Wikipedia page, because of his fondness for martial arts, he starred in Double Dragon. Gosh. Double Dragon is quite far from being a martial arts film. Because you've got the two, Jimmy and Billy Lee, one played by Mark Dacascos.
Mark Dacascos. I think he's awesome.
Yeah, he's an actual, he's a bona fide action star, isn't he?
He's pretty awesome in quite a lot of things, but yeah. Things you, that probably people would know him from, Crying Freeman movie, The Crow TV series.
Yeah.
And Brotherhood of the Wolf, which is an awesome film.
Yeah. And he's actually got skill, hasn't he? He's like an actually skilled kung fu person.
He's a fighter.
The other guy, played by Scott Wolf, isn't.
No, that, I think that sorry, is clear. You mean Tom Cruise light?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Cheesy, because he's like whenever you get the fight scenes, you've got basically Mark Dacascos kicking butt, and then Scott Wolf running around,
being the goofy one,
slamming bad guys' ponytails into suitcases.
But you know what? It does have some very authentic, martial arts talk. For instance, they do shout at one point, "Jimmy, watch his spin kick."
Jimmy, watch his spin kick.
Yeah. Yeah,
so, you know, gotta watch out for those. Really getting the lingo down.
Gotta watch out for those. And
watch out for the spin kick.
Watch out for the spin kick. It's not as good as, you know, clearly they should have swept the leg rather than the spin kick, but, you know, we'll discuss
it
later.
Never, yes, indeed. And it never quite explains, now that we're talking about Mark Dacascos and Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Tom Cruise Jr.
They're brothers?
Yeah, because one's clearly American and one clearly isn't. And then they kind of been looked after by some lady who's like, I don't know, she's Chinese, so is she his mum and not the other one?
It's like Tom, and then, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito are more believable as twins.
Yeah.
Than these two guys as brothers.
I give you that. And then what's they call each other, like their nickname is like Ugly because their surname's Lee and stuff.
Yeah.
And they do some kind of stupid high five thing.
Ugly and Smelly. There was another name for the other one. Was it Smelly?
I'll say that it is, because it's on that kind of level, isn't it?
Ugly and smelly, yeah.
But what I don't get about this film is that the world of the film is just ridiculous, because...
It's like Mario Brothers.
Yeah, that's... Yes, Jared, you're right. It's influenced by Mario Brothers. Like, they've got the Dragonmobile, their car, which apparently is powered by putting rubbish into a furnace in the front seat of the car.
The Mr. Fusion.
Yeah, and that fires like a giant flame out the back of the car to make it go. They get chased off by some gang members... And then they, when they see it, they load up GangNet, which is like Wikipedia for gangs, and find out about the bad guy's stats, like his strength and stuff.
Boa Bobo.
I was just like, what's going on? And then Alicia Milano turns up as a part of the Power Corps, who all dress in neon clothes. Because there's some kind of weird thing where, like, the police, like, there's a curfew, and, like, it reaches a certain point, the police and everybody clears the streets, and the gangs take over overnight.
Yeah,
because of the
earthquake. These are like badass gangs, as in, like, from Michael Jackson's Beat It video. They're all
leather jackets
and pipes and cowboy hats.
Oh, they're worse than the gang in Police Academy 2. They're on that kind of level. And, like, they get the Double Dragons get chased by Kogoshuko, who kind of brings all the gangs together because he strangles out there's like some guy in charge of the gangs and he strangles him, and then they get chased and they nearly get jumped on by a postman who literally says, "Hey guys, special delivery," and attacks them because he's dressed as a postman.
Never seen a postman move that fast.
And I just don't know. It's a weird, weird film.
There's lots of very, very odd things happened in it.
Yeah, and then
I'm going to be honest with you. I got about halfway through, and then I think I had to go feed or change dirty nappies or something like that.
Was that better?
And then that was enough of a justification for me not to go back to it and finish it off. It's kind of like
makes decisions about stuff like Robert Patrick decides to like to mutinize people to turn into mutants. So he turns Bobo into some kind of giant muscle bound freak dude. He can't even cross his legs. It's just weird.
It's really horrific. That's really scary.
Yeah, like his arms are like, I don't know.
It's also got lots of, well, I use the word celebrities loosely, but real life people playing themselves in it.
George Hamilton is the newsreader. And Andy Dick is the weatherman.
Yeah,
as really themselves.
Yeah, because there's like acid rain everywhere and stuff. It's just such a strange film. You can see why it made no money, because it just has no idea what it's doing at all with anything.
There is just so many random things happen. There's one point, it's the loudest sound effect for someone eating popcorn I've ever heard in my life. It's when they're sitting at the table, and it's just this really random, out of the blue noise. Watch it again. It's just like, what the hell did that come from? It just like comes out of absolutely nowhere. And then that's it. And right enough, there's a bowl of popcorn in front of him. But it's kind of like, why was it so loud?
It makes no sense.
And then there's like, in the chase sequence, they go through like one tiny thing of cardboard boxes. And like the punk guy's all, woo!
And then you forget, like, they throw some rubbish into the punk guy. Bobo can't see out of his car window when he chases him in his car. So he gets out some kind of camera on the roof of his car, starts controlling his car with a joystick, playing some kind of video game built into his dashboard. And it's like,
And the video game looks like Spy Hunter, kind of.
It's even worse. Like, though, like a poor 90s version of Spy Hunter with like three polygons making the car.
Yeah.
And then
there's the virtual reality.
Yes, thank you. The virtual reality headset the kid's playing on at home in his bedroom. It's like, you can tell it's 1994 because virtual reality is like the most coolest thing in the world. And then, but the one saving grace of the film is that everyone's favourite lackey, Ao Leong, is in it.
Yes, yeah, I have that ponytail goatee guy.
Yeah, he gets his
Little China and all.
Get his ponytail slammed into a suitcase.
Yeah, that's he's in loads of things. Off the top of my head was Big Trouble in Little China, but
yeah, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, Die Hard, right enough. Yes,
he's been loads of stuff, and like he's like a great little shot there. Basically, like they win. Basically, surprise. Like, we'll get to the end fight in a minute, but they win. They drive off, and then like there's Ao Leong and this other psychic buddy stood next to the road saying like, you know, we'll thug for you for food with signs up.
Yeah.
As they drive off into the sunshine, but
actually, the ending is weird. That's what I meant to say. The ending is weird too, because they did at the end. One of the Lee brothers decides to use their power to possess the bad guy, Vanilla Ice. When he's possessed, he then decides to own up all the crimes and decides to give them money. And it's so clear that it's obviously not him. And it's like, surely that's not legal, you know? That's like a forced confession.
And what also I don't get about the end is, obviously, though, we've got the dragon medallions, like the big thing of the film. And then Jimmy and Billy finally get it. They get the medallion, they bring it together. And they kind of got this big, huge light, and they're revealed in their double dragon costumes, the blue and red costumes that look absolutely rubbish. And you think, oh, there's going to be like a big smackdown here. They're wearing their outfits now. There's going to be a massive fight. And they just kind of like slap Robert Patrick around a little bit in comic-y style, like kick him in the bum and go, wee! And then possess him. And then the film ends. And it's like, why did you even bother putting the costumes on that look worse than, you know, the worst kind of Power Ranger outfit? Why would you do that?
What else was the medallion supposed to do? Because all I could see is it sort of turned people into like paper.
Yeah, it's like, what is it? One half gives power over body, which is like, you know, invincibility and super strength. Yeah. And the other half is power over the soul. So they like turn into shadow and like possess people, which Robert Patrick does do a lot in the film. But it just doesn't make any kind of sense, because like when they see the power of the body, he gets punched through a wall and like, that's it. Because there's no budget to this film at all. Yeah, the set, I mean, like the look of the city is rubbish. The Power Core, led by Alyssa Milano, have like this kind of weird underground base, which is like the base that the Foot Clan had in the Turtles film, even down to the line of old arcade machines in there, including a double dragon cabinet. You see the synergy?
Yeah, I saw that.
But it's just a strange, strange film. That's also
the only machine that got beat up as well. All the other ones were fine, but the double dragon machine actually got kicked in.
Got kicked in the face, didn't it? Yeah, it proper did. But it's just, I just don't know. I just don't get it.
One of the weirdest things in this film is the fact I saw this at the end, and I think, no, that can't be him. And one of the writers, it's not on Wikipedia, is Paul Dini.
Yes! Yes,
and
Martin.
He's half of the Dream Team that did all the Batman and Superman stuff of the 90s.
I saw that as well. Series. I nearly dropped my computer when I saw that. I was like, what the hell?
I had to research and think, that can't be the same Paul Dini. And it is. It's the same guy. It's mental.
Don't get it.
I don't understand.
He must have come up with like a very loose idea. Then somebody saw the Mario film and thought, right, we'll do that.
Yeah. Let's do one of them things.
Yeah.
But like, because the thing is, like, you know, the Mario film's got your man who's dead. What's his name? Bad guy played Bowser.
Dennis Hopper.
Dennis Hopper, you know, it's got Dennis Hopper in it, and it's a fun film because it does kind of make sense a little bit. But Double Dragon doesn't make any sense at all. There's no rhyme or reason to that film whatsoever. It's mental, weirdly mental.
Sorry, Mario. Super Mario does not make sense. It's a fucked up film too.
No, it isn't. It makes perfect sense. No, really. Don't make me kick you off this podcast. It does. Tell him, Jared.
Makes no sense.
Thanks. Thanks, Jared. So yeah, Double Dragon. Don't watch the film. Just watch the TV series.
Don't even bother.
Just don't. We're going to save you from this one. Just don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it.
Just don't even bother.
Just don't do it. Just don't. Don't do it. I know you're thinking about it. Just don't do it. Just don't. Step away. Step away from the torrent. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Torrent? What's a torrent?
You know exactly what it is, Jared.
It's lethal watching!
Moving on.
Please.
Moving on. Well, we'll do Dragon Slayer next.
A slight step up in quality, I feel.
I do agree. Yes. Because Dragon Slayer is awesome.
Question.
And I can't understand how I couldn't... I must have seen it before. I must have seen it before. And I can't, for the life of me, figure out why I couldn't remember seeing it before, if I have seen it before, or why it's not one of those films that people talk a hell of a lot more about.
I've never seen it. I don't think I've ever seen this film.
No,
I have no idea how I haven't not seen it, but I just don't know.
It's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Dragon Slayer. It's a Walt Disney film with special effects by ILM. You know, start off, that's two pretty good things about it.
Yeah.
The director did a couple of interesting things. He directed Batteries Not Included, but he's also the screenwriter of the remake of Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, and he's also the screenwriter of the At the Mountains of Madness.
Yeah,
Del Toro.
The one that kind of got
turned down. The one that kind of has stalled.
Yeah.
And he's also the writer on the Haunted Mansion reboot that Guillermo del Toro is producing. So he seems to have some sort of in with Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah, he did Mimic also, as well.
And don't Be Afraid of the Dark, that's another Guillermo del Toro produced film. So
he's also the screenwriter as well for The Legend of Billie Jean, which was one of the ones you went in, which we got Derek. That's how this all got intertwined. I think we saw that back then.
Because you really liked that film, didn't you, Martin? Legend of Billie Jean.
Yeah. So,
Billie Jean's not different Billie Jean.
So, okay. That's kind
fair
of
is fair. Anyway.
Dragon Slayer.
Anyway, it's also got
Dragon Slayer.
Peter McNichol.
Rock my world. He's just a dragon that sets fire to things. Sorry.
It's also got Peter McNichol in it, who to me is... All I can think of is the cross-dressing nanny ghost Janosch from Ghostbusters 2. That's all I can ever think of. that's
slime
him. That's when he just seems to make that noise throughout the film.
Yeah.
One little note I've made, actually, which I may as well, just because we're talking about the start, is the writing at the start also looks like the writing from Escape from New York. So that kind of...
you were happy then, weren't you?
Expectations as well, slightly. But it really surprises me. I must have seen it. I can't believe I hadn't seen it before. But it is pretty much sort of very much a straight-up Dark Ages-style-y sort of fantasy sort of
proper film. Medieval kind of set, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like it's not your kind of fantasy as in Lord of the Rings fantasy. It's kind of like real world Dark Ages, but there's magic and a dragon in it.
Yeah.
It's about this group of people go to this wizard guy, Peter McNichol's kind of like his apprentice sort of thing, and apparently that was one of the things behind the Sorcerer's Apprentice was one of the sort of inspirations somehow is where it came from. So these people arrive, and first of all, I think it's supposed to be a surprise, but you clearly see that it's a girl, and you're kind of like, is this girl pretending to be a boy, or is she just a very manly girl? I don't really know.
I know, she should have gone for the mustache.
It's a girl. You're just like clearly that's a girl. Doesn't really acknowledge whether she's a boy or a girl, but she talks in a kind of a deep voice and is a bit grubby and stuff, and you're kind of like, okay, right, I'm assuming that's going to be important at some point, and it does become important later
on.
That
way, yeah.
Apart from Peter McNichol, there's one of the main guys who jumped out at me when watching it was a guy called John Hallam, who's from Lisburn in Northern Ireland. He also he played Tyrion in this, who was kind of like the king's henchman guy. He was also General Luro in Flash Gordon.
Oof, there you go.
And the reason
he
jumped up was because Flash Gordon was on at the weekend there, and I watched it, and as soon as he came on, I was like, that's the dude from Flash Gordon. And then I looked, and I was like, he's also from Lisburn. Oh, there we go. But basically, if you cut the film right down, it's very much a fantasy version of A New Hope. That's kind of the way it comes across to me. It's kind of the young... farm boy type thing whose mentor is killed. Spoiler alert, the wizard guy gets killed, and then he has to kind of take on the mission to kill this dragon, because this dragon's basically tormenting these people's land, and they have to sacrifice the chaste virgin girl every so often. I can't remember how often it is.
It's like a lottery, sort of, isn't it? Is it every year or something? And they kind of pull everybody's names out of a hat, and it's all kind of skullduggery, where like the king's daughter doesn't get put into the lottery, and which people don't get put in there and stuff. And it's all kind of class stuff going on. It's quite dark, and it's quite.
Oh yeah,
it's quite a lot of depth to it as well.
Well, there is, because this is why the girl who's a boy sort of thing becomes important, because obviously you find out then that she is a girl, but she's pretending to be a boy ever since she was born, because her father never wanted her name to go into the lottery. And the way we find out a girl is because she goes for a swim, as you know, you might do to wash yourself. An old Pete boy sees her in the buff as she's swimming.
Proper sees her in the buff, doesn't he?
It's a bit of a moment when he sees her bits and bobs. And he right enough then says he won't tell anybody, and he doesn't. He just keeps shtum about it.
Yeah.
But the dragon, because obviously it's about dragons, the dragon is, this is my kind of dragon, because you asked me last week, Phil, about whether I preferred the Eastern or the Western sort of types of dragons, but this is a dragon.
It's a proper dragon, isn't it?
All big wings and sort of badass fire breathing, and, you know, he's pretty, pretty awesome looking. His name's
Vermithrax. It does still look really good, doesn't he?
Yeah, his name's Vermithrax. And actually, one of the reasons why Guillermo del Toro may have this guy in on his sort of on his team is because he's actually said that he believes that the Vermithrax, the dragon in this film, is one of the best creations, you know, special effects creations and design work and things like that. Because, you know, he's very into his monsters and his designs and things like that. And he says he thinks Vermithrax is actually the best dragon that's ever sort of been put on screen. So whether that's kind of why the director guy and screenwriter guy seems to be in his sort of team of people, I'm not sure. But that's another sort of Guillermo del Toro connection there. But yeah, this is pretty much, I think, as good a dragon as you're gonna see. And you don't see a lot of them. It's a slow build up till you sort of finally see him. It's all sort of. I mean, there's a bit where you see the first virgin, and this hand comes out sort of from sort of under the cave, and it's really kind of freaky, like this just this big hand goes, and you kind of wonder, that actually looks really, really good. How did they do that in like 1981?
It's all proper models and stuff, isn't it? Proper good model work and animation work.
There's a sequence away later on where you see, it was really impressive where the dragon is kind of moving about the tunnels, and Petey's fighting it, and it looks great. It's like a real sort of, it's probably one of the best stop motion sort of things I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, if you
could, fluid, it looks really real, it looks really, really, just really excellent.
Yeah, I mean, probably the best comparison to it is like the Rancor scene from Return of the Dragon. It's a similar kind of set.
I think it's better.
It looks better than that. It looks much better.
It looks much better, and it's years before. It's a couple of years before the Rancor. The Rancor to me still looks very jittery, and you know, some stop motion can look very sort of artificial, and the movements are very sort of jittery. And but this, the movements, it's just so smooth. It really, really looks great. And the other Star Wars connection there is Emperor Palpatine's in it. Ian McDermott.
Yeah, who Emperor Palpatine?
He gets toasty toasted.
He gets messed up, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets toasted. He's like some sort of crazy priest guy.
He goes basically.
Yeah, the film about halfway through, Peter McNichol goes, it's so funny because he's obviously such a weed, but he kind of, once he becomes the wizard, he becomes all sort of badass.
He tries to. I just don't quite buy him as a badass.
He's all like, do this shit, and he's all like, I'm going to get this dragon. And they're all like, oh, we're near, they're trying to get him to their village, and they're all like, we're near the lair. And he's all like, well, let's go do this. He's like, let's go. He's
let's
like,
go do this now.
It just goes, and then like he uses the sort of the little magic wandy thing to like basically cause a big landslide. So everybody's all like, you know, sweet, dragon dead, let's go, awesome, they have a big party. And the girl decides, right, well, you know, dragon's dead, so I'm going to wear a dress. So she kind of comes out wearing a dress. Everybody in the village is all kind of like, what the fuck? And, you know, what the fuck?
You go, girl!
I saw your boobs, let's dance. He's just kind of like straight in there. He's like, you know, let's get this shit on.
That's, you know, facts, I mean? Right there. You know, he's like, go straight in. He's like, musicians, play.
Musicians?
The just goes, right, you know, let's go for a dance, woman. We're on. Yeah, he just goes, get it going, and that's it. And like he's just like a real sort of Mac Daddy of the village sort of
thing.
Then
the king comes in, and the king's horrible.
Peter McNichol is. He is not a badass.
He's not. He's quite far from a badass.
Gangster move.
But of course, things don't go according to plan. He hasn't killed the dragon. He's just kind of irritated a little bit. So while Vermithrax comes out basically and causes some nasty shit to go down or burns everything down.
Yeah.
And so they have to have another lottery to kind of appease him. But you find out that his incredibly irritating daughter has sort of
she is though she really
a crisis
is.
Of conscious that the fact that she was never put in the lottery because the king was fixing it
in the lotto, so they called it Wednesday.
Yeah, so she's the only one that can get picked basically. So she gets picked, gets killed, nice, which is pretty good.
On that for a second, that is quite gory because
isn't that really gruesome? Yeah,
your man Captain Dragon Slayer walks in. There's like baby dragons eating the hand off. It's like, whoa!
No, yeah, it's like pretty. And the bit at the start, way back when you first see the first sacrifice, where the girl's trying to get out of the cuffs and like her hands are bleeding and her wrists are bleeding and all. And it's kind of like.
It doesn't shy away from that at all, does it?
No. So yeah, that bit where she's just like lying there like a rag doll with these baby dragons like ripping her to shreds. It's just kind of like, gee, dog.
Yeah.
And then you have the really cool sequence where he fights the dragon, but it kind of has a few different endings. It kind of has one ending, then it's another ending, and then the dragon's not actually dead again. It's not dead again, and it keeps going on. But eventually, you find out that old wizard boy was just a lazy old shite and didn't want to walk, so he killed himself. To basically get burnt into ashes so that they would carry him and then resurrect him again.
Yeah.
Like, you fart.
You old bastard. Why didn't you just tell us that at the beginning of the film?
Yeah, why didn't you just say, right, here's the story. Gonna die. Gonna burn me down. Take me over. Big me back. I'll be sorted. But no.
Yeah, I'll get this S done. Just get me there. That's what I need done.
He just monkeys around for a bit and doesn't mix everybody all a bit friggin' irritated. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, but then we get like wizard versus dragon in the big battle, which is quite a cool sequence as well.
Wizard versus dragon, wizard bomb. It's pretty awesome. He basically turns himself into like a wizard bomb.
Yeah, because like he has to smash the amulet, which then destroys him and the dragon all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
But I like the end of the film is really interesting because obviously they do that, like, you know, and your man Peter McNichol effectively kills the last dragon and the last magician and magic all at the same time, and the dragon dies, and then the king rocks up in his horse and cart, strolls out, stabs it with the dead corpse of the sword, and everyone goes, "Oh, the king did it!
The king has killed him!"
And they all start like praising God and stuff, and it's like religion has kind of taken over from magic. I thought that was the ending was really quite interesting.
It's a smouldering, lumpy mess of dragon, and everybody's just kind of like, "Yay!"
Yeah.
Well done, King.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I actually have to say the last sequence. I thought that this was at one point. I thought the film was going to end kind of quite abruptly, and it was almost like it was going to be set up for a sequel. Before you know the bit where they're about to sort of leave in the horse. For some reason, to me, that felt as if it was going to be like the end of the film.
Yeah.
And then there was the whole bit with the bringing back the wizard and stuff like that.
Ended on a downer. But this whole thing about like this. The emperor is like a religious dude, but it's all things about Christianity kind of coming into this world. It's all been populated by magic, and because before the dragon attacks, they're all getting baptized and stuff, and then basically magic dies and religion takes over. And it's quite a like a downbeat ending, really. That's why I saw it.
It is. It's kind of. It's just. It's a very generally. I don't want to say it's not a down film because it's not as great. It's a great film, but it's kind of the whole atmosphere is just very much doom and gloom.
Yeah. It's all kind of smoky and brown, like dark browns and blacks and all kind of half lit and everything. It looks a treat though. It looks an absolute treat.
Jeez. Yeah. Oh, it looks very good. It's filmed in Wales and a bit in Scotland.
Not in Ireland then.
I've got to say, I've got one major comment about this film, and that is the pacing of it. Because I just found it's a good film, but I just thought it was a bit long. And ponderous. I thought, you know, especially the time, because he like takes on dragon three times, and I just think that could be reduced a lot.
I think that's the one thing. That's what I was thinking whenever I thought it was kind of going to end. It kind of, towards the end, it kind of got almost very stop start, and there was, it didn't sort of flow easily. But to me, I couldn't believe I couldn't remember it or I hadn't seen it before because
I agree. I have no idea why I've not seen it.
Maybe to some people it might be sort of even sort of fantasy, quite fantasy light. But to me,
it's like low fantasy almost, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not like high fantasy like Lord of the Rings. It's all
There's really only the dragon and the fact that it's a wizard. Other than that, it's a very real kind of world, you know.
Yeah. So this comes with a recommendation, doesn't it?
This is a recommendation. This is when you want to actually step towards the torrents. Yeah. And
step away from
double dragon. Buy it. You know, do the legal thing.
Is it viable? Is it viable?
I think it must be. Let's have it. I'm just going to do an Amazon. It's got to be. I think it is.
It's probably out of print if it went on the DVD.
Oh, you can hear the tension
layer. Yeah, DVD, £3.49.
Oh, there you go.
Bargain.
You go, it's cheap.
Yeah, do that then.
Is that new, though? Or is that, like, buy from some crazy dude on there?
That's buy new from Amazon. You can buy it for other sellers for about £2.47 new. But you'll probably have to pay postage on that.
We should do, like, an Amazon sales thing on the website so people can buy it and make us money.
Yeah. But
affiliate, that's the word I'm thinking of. Yeah, affiliate, yeah. Just buy it. Dragon Slayer, good. Double Dragon, bad. So we're one for one at the moment.
One for one?
Yeah, we would heartily recommend...
What?
We would heartily recommend it.
Oh, because last week, I think they were all winners, near enough.
Were they? Balls?
Were they?
D-Wars, what was the other one? Dragon Dick, and what was the other one?
Dragon Ball Evolution was not a winner.
Dragon Wars was a winner. Dragon Wars was a firm winner.
You talk nonsense.
Dragons versus Helicopters,
Dragon Wars was the firm winner.
Yeah.
Now, did you see the cover for the Dragon Slayer DVD on Amazon?
It's all a bit. That's not indicative of the film, really, is it?
No, that is completely misleading. It actually makes it look like Dragon's Lair, the game.
Yeah, but it is a firm 12, though. I'm quite surprised it's only a 12 because, you know, with the hand getting ripped off.
It was probably a 15 or something on video.
Probably. Then.
So Dragon Slayer, go bye. Pirates.
Go bye. Okay, don't go bye-bye, not yet, because it's my turn to talk
now. Not finished. Yeah, go bye-bye.
No, bye-bye. It's time...
Oh, bye-bye.
...for some Kung Fu fighting, ladies and gentlemen, because now I'm going to talk about Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. Basically all about the life of Bruce. Well, I say it's all about life. It's semi-biographical. The reason why I say that is because there's a lot of fictional part parts as well.
You reckon?
To be quite, just to be quite fair. But it's all about just Lee's build up to his eventual death. It doesn't actually go into any of that because the wife wanted him to be remembered for how he lived rather than how he died. And it's just all about his time growing up. And it's remarkable because quite a lot of it seems to be getting involved in trouble where he's actually outnumbered by about 5-1 and has to take them all out through the use of Kung Fu.
Of course.
Yes, there's never actually a straight one-on-one fight. Well, actually, there is a straight one-on-one fight, but it's just with like a normal karate dude, really, and a karate championship and all that. Everything else is just like bar fights with everyone else getting their kick in. But yeah, it's basically just the life of Bruce Lee and how he became, how he came to America, set up his own school, set up his own way of fighting, and then got the eye of the film producers, became Kato for the Green Hornet, and eventually winded back to Hong Kong to do all the martial arts films of the past, like The Big Boss and everything, and then finally with Way of the Dragon. That's basically the film, and I watched it again recently, and it's a brilliant film. I do like this film, but it's the whole mixed match because it's very obvious that there are some parts which are highly fictitious. And
are you referring to the scene where he's fighting a giant armored demon?
Yes.
Is definitely. That what you're referring to, bro?
There's all kinds because I don't think that he actually got into a fight with all those Navy officers either. Jackie Chan style eating of the food on the table.
It's basically their way of trying to explain the supposed curse, isn't it? Of the Bruce Lee family.
Yes. But yeah, so yeah, that's my take. I'm going for a shorter spiel because usually I go one and talk nonsense. So I'm just going for the shortest thing this time.
Would you rather that not have had like all the kind of childhood demon kung fu fighting bits? And just kind of focused on the actual man rather than those bits. Or are you happy with the mix it's got?
I think the mix that it's done is good. I think if they went a bit too close to the bone, it could have made... You could have seen Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee is a hero to many people, really. And I think
is he a hero to you, Martin?
Not to me personally, but I can definitely see that he is a hero to many people. And I can tell that if it did go very serious and very autobiographical, biographical. Sorry, bit of a spasm there.
We'll try again.
Biographical. There we go.
There you go.
If it did go the biographical route, you've got to feel that it'd probably be a bit too serious, and it will probably show Lee in a not so hallowed and glorious light, really.
Yeah.
So it's fully understandable why they decided to take it out on that, and it also makes for quite a fun and action-packed film, really, with all the different fights. But yeah, it's a decent film, shows how he got to America and all that, and it's nice to see. I mean, I didn't actually know about his involvement in the Kung Fu series as well. I mean, how much involvement he had in it is anyone's guess, really. But supposedly he was down to do the part before it was offered to David Carradine.
Yeah.
I never knew that, so. And subsequently Brandon Lee, his son, actually took it up for the TV movie, which was going to go on to a Kung Fu The Next Generation, which never actually went through. And again, so it's the whole Bruce Lee family getting involved there as well.
And the dude playing Jason Scott Lee, playing Bruce Lee, he's really good, isn't he? He really does kind of...
He's really good. No relation. Just put that in there.
Thanks,
I think
Martin.
They did offer it. Yeah, they did offer it to Brandon Lee, but I think he refused.
That would have been too weird.
Would have been weird. But the weird thing is as well, obviously, he was doing The Crow at the time. Which, of course, was his last film.
Which went well for him.
I think he died a few months before this film was released, which is why it's actually dedicated. But again, it adds to the whole myth of the demon and the conspiracy that haunts the family, because he was only taken when he was 28 as well. And I think his dad was about 32 or something like that.
Yeah.
So it just piles on the conspiracy. But you got to think as well, if Brandon took the role, it would have been weird, especially when he was like talking to his son, saying, Brandon, and like, stuff like that.
Oh, you're talking to yourself. What's going on?
Exactly. But you gotta
stop talking to yourself. Stop talking to yourself.
Stop hitting yourself, Brandon. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting me.
But down. I always remember there being I remember hearing all these crazy rumors about how Bruce Lee died. I remember hearing some rumor that Bruce Lee died by something like, I remember somebody told me he jumped off a cliff to try and grab onto a seagull and all these crazy things. And
what kind of place? All, what?
This was like before this. You know, this is well before the internet, and this is all. You know, this was all like, you know, maybe in the late 80s or maybe 1990. And somebody, I remember hearing all these about how he died, and it was like somebody told me he had jumped off a cliff to try and grab a seagull and all this kind of
what?
Stuff. Like, oh my god!
Bruce, I can grab that seagull.
So, oh, that'll learn him,
Bruce.
Bruce, just,
all these crazy stuff, all these crazy like rumors about why he died. I just something came into me when we were thinking
was
about...
that. There's people playing with you though, Jared. Do you think? Because we've heard about your cousins bullying you, watching you put in a weird film.
Bruce Lee died because he jumped off the trying to
and little Jared's like, oh really? I never knew.
He really missed.
You weirdo. Did you two ever play the video game that came out at the same time?
No, saw that. There was a video game based on this?
Yeah, I do remember. Yeah.
1990s, Martin, that's what happened back then.
I know, but it's a bit of a weird topic. I mean, that's like bloody doing one based on fucking... I'm just trying to think of a biographical tale that's been out.
I'll cut this out so the joke sounds better, Sean.
I can't remember. Ah, fuck it. Something like... Yeah, but that's feasible. But say it's Bruce Lee, I think it's the fact that it's a real-life person.
All right, it's like making a game based on Schindler's List.
Yeah, something crazy,
like,
you know?
That'd be like Pikmin, that'd be quite good. You'd have different kind of Jews following you and stuff. And like, someone would be able to pick things up and someone would have to hit things.
Jesus Christ, you and the Jews.
It was sort of a beat-em-up type thing, wasn't it?
Well, clearly, what else are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with a Bruce Lee game except for turning it into a beat-em-up? Answer me that question.
So was the Dragon game, was it like a one-on-one, like a Street Fighter beat-em-up, or...?
Well, Wikipedia says it was like a scrolling beat-em-up.
Oh, okay, like a Final Fight style.
Yeah. But then, like, some really kind of nice, chunky 16-bit video game art. It looks quite cool. Got the emulators.
To be fair, though, most Karate games of that era were all based on Bruce Lee, wasn't it? All the fighters were based on Bruce Lee.
Although, apparently, the Jaguar version was the best version. Mm.
Ooh.
So now there's two reasons to own that console.
What was the first? I really
Aliens
really
vs. Predator.
Just like, why would I want one?
I remember seeing the Jaguar in the old Special Reserve catalogue, and it did look really cool, apart from the kind of toilet seat expansion drive they did. That looked
cool. What I always remember, there was a shop near where my granny lived, and it had an Amiga CD32.
Classy.
I always remember seeing it and going,
"Whoa!" Yeah, I always wanted the portable Mega Drive Mega CD player.
Oh yeah,
that thing's beautiful, glorious thing.
Anyway, back to Dragons.
Yeah, Dragon Bruce Lee, good.
Yeah. Bruce Lee, yeah, I liked it. How do you guys rate it?
Yeah, it's not as good as an actual Bruce Lee film.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good, it's, man.
Certainly enjoyable. Yeah, it's, you know, it's better than Double Dragon, clearly.
Where is Jason Scott Lee from?
His mum. He is, he's American, born in L.A., raised in Hawaii.
He was in Soldier as well, God bless him.
He was, yeah. Oh, your favourite film.
Shut up, Martin, shut up.
But yes.
Yeah, good film. So, watch.
And the dragon to be seen.
Yeah, no dragons in it at all. So, we say definitely watch, buy Dragon Slayer.
Yes.
Download Dragon the Bruce Lee Story. And don't even bother with Double Dragon. Don't even bother.
It's Lethal Watching!
There you go.
In that case, what are we doing for the lovely viewers in a few weeks' time?
More dragons?
The third dragon episode! The third.
No, we fucking aren't.
We've got to complete the trilogy, surely. We've got to do a trilogy.
No, we're not doing
werewolves.
What? No, puppies.
No, werewolves.
Werewolves?
We could do Brothers of the Wolf, American Werewolf in London, and The Howling.
American Werewolf in Paris.
No, no, that film doesn't exist.
Dog Soldiers.
Oh, Dog Soldiers. Oh, Martin. Oh, you like you're thinking. Werewolves.
Or Teen Wolf.
Werewolf Special. Mm. I'm calling it now.
Okay.
Werewolves. It's a general conversation about werewolves in films.
Awesome.
I used to be a werewolf, but I'm not one now.
I'll cut that out. That was uncalled for, Martin.
Mm.
But, like, if, say, I wanted to hear more of your jokes, where would I go to? Or what would I download?
For me? Well, yeah. You can check out the new, brand new podcast, The Martin Kilbane Show, which is coming out every Friday night at 7. You've just missed the first one. The second one will be up this week, and there's going to be about 6 episodes.
Oh, I thought it was, like, every Friday night forever.
No. Just the 6 at the minute. I'm trying to write more. But I think I'm going to go for more original, completely original characters, original material, completely original me stuff.
Ooh.
So, other than parodies and everything.
Hard drive and fiber optic broadband to download it.
Yeah. No more WAVs, please, Martin. No more WAVs, please.
Oh, yes, no more WAVs. There'll be an MP3 from now on. So it's all good. All tech savvy and all that.
That was good.
So,
yeah.
Yes. And if you wanted to speak to me, you can catch me at my Twitter, which is at Martin Kilbane. And if I wanted to catch you two guys.
Well, you catch me at Evil Ninja Phil with Jared and his Irish internet and the rapidly collapsing Skype call. I don't know where you'd catch him. Where would he catch you, Jared?
At Chubba Chup, 2 Bs and Chubba.
That was at Chubba Chup. 2 Bs Chubba and Chubba.
I quite like the fact as well, Jared, you didn't go to the toilet this week. That was quite nice. That's appreciated.
How do you know? I've been the whole time.
Damn him. Curse him to hell. Indeed. Yeah, so we hope you enjoyed the Double Dragon special.
Oh,
there will be a third one. There will be a third one to complete the trilogy at some point. I swear this.
Yes, you complete the trilogy. Let's leave 2 or 3 years.
Didn't catch that at all, Jerry. You're gone. You're gone. You're like...
I think that was 2 to 3 years is what you just said. We'll do it again in 2 to 3 years.
You're like his translator.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, you're still there with us. Need you to speak.
I'm here, kind of.
It's like Han Solo and Chewbacca talking to each other. I'm like, I've got a clue what one person's saying. And they're just like, yeah, all right, Jared. I'm like, what?
If it's that bad, I'm just going to go.
Can I just say, I'm quite glad you chose the Han Solo and Chewbacca route rather than C-3PO and R2-D2.
Oh, that's what I should have done, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm Han Solo. That'll do me. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Oh, yep. Great. Now he's doing Chewbacca impressions on a dodgy Skype call line. Fantastic.
Wow.
Bye. We'll stop there.
Lethal Watching was brought to you by Phil Doyle and Gerard Boyle.
I'm Martin Kilbane.
In association with abadeducation.com.
going in.
This is good. I don't have anybody to talk Minecraft about, so it's Martin.
Your Minecraft buddy.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah. Who are we?
Do you ever do the multiplayer the multiplayer Minecraft that we did with we were building Calcivadia Towers.
Oh, I never went back on there because I didn't know anyone was still on it.
I don't know
it.
If we're ever doing it again, but it'd be cool to get some multiplayer going.
Well, I know Runaway Bomber was Tom from the Bait for Frogger. He was on about it, but he's not actually set up yet, but he knows he was on about doing it. I think he's just waiting for more people, so if you want, I'll say you're interested.
Yeah, it'd be good to get a wee go on it.
Sweet. Awesome. And I think GW's on Minecraft as well at the minute, so I think we could get a little band of us and survival multiplayer. Should be pretty cool. Because there are monsters now in multiplayer, because
whenever it was just like a just building.
Yeah, so now it's quite fun. Sorry, we're off again. This
Jesus
is
Christ.
Sonic thing.
What the hell's the matter with you?
Sorry.
Stop talking about Minecraft. Who's been who?